Okay, good evening everybody and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called The Essence of Womanhood. My name is Damien Sen and it's a great pleasure to have you on the line this evening. In a few moments from now I'll be introducing our very special guest Susie Heath, but before I do please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Susie a whole series of different questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners at home. Now, this call actually came about in an interesting fashion. For a while now, I had been really personally moved to cover a call on manhood and the specific challenges actually affecting men in their transformation process. And when I was actually creating the actual call itself, there was a real part of me that thought, you know, I should also be holding a space for the particular challenges that women face as well on their transformational journeys. And I was a little bit lost how I was actually going to do that. And it just so happened that I sent out the promotional copy for the manhood call, and I immediately got an email back from Susie introducing herself and asking me whether or not I'd considered holding a transformational call for women as well. And like, I immediately picked up the phone and gave Susie a call, and yeah, this call came into being. Now, Susie herself is a cognitive psychotherapist, a coach, hypnotherapist, workshop facilitator and dance instructor. She's also the author of the book The Essence of Womanhood and has also co-authored the book Written in the Rainbow, A Woman's Secret to Self-Esteem. And we're very lucky to have Susie on the call this evening, so I welcome you, Susie.
Thank you very much, Damien. Love to be here.
Now, I thought I'd actually just start at the very top, Susie, by asking, what exactly is the essence of womanhood?
Right. Well, the essence of womanhood, in a way, this applies to men as well. So if we have men on the line, I'd like you to sort of think of this through your masculine energy as well. There's something so beautiful inside you that if you knew it, you'd fall in love with it. And if you really connected it, you'd learn to listen to it. You'd be guided by its pure simplicity. You'd learn to trust it. You'd allow it to guide you and direct your life. There's an exquisiteness, an elegance. There's a practicality. There's a sensuality. There's a truth there. And that's what I feel is our essence. It becomes, when you connect with it, it becomes so potent that you ignore any obstacles in your path. You push aside any excuses that you have. There's a delight in the presence of this essence. You can be, how can I put this, entranced by its wisdom, tickled by its playfulness, seduced by its sheer beauty, and charmed by its innocence. There's this whole texture and gamut of tapestry, of colour and shape of this essence. It's when we tap into it, it's a fundamental part that inside us that instinctively knows all the answers. It holds our visions, holds our dreams, encourages our enthusiasm, directs our energy, and gives us our freedom. Is that enough to be going on with?
Absolutely. I guess navigating back to the essential self is one of my real deep passions. And I really resonated with the way you described that, actually. And it can be quite challenging for people in our modern context, because I guess the whole conditioning process that we do go through in our demanding modern day world, actually a lot of it actually takes us away from our essential selves.
Absolutely. You know, this essence that we all have inside, it's a very sensitive and delicate inner voice, and it can be so easily drowned by our fears, by our conditioning and our negative thoughts. And our greatest challenge, as you say, is to put our trust in it. You know, do we dare put our trust in that part of us that has this knowing? You know, it's got a genius quality to it. And to allow that essence to come forth and be brought out of us in the way we live, in the way we interact with other people, in the way we lead our lives, and to trust it implicitly, it can be a challenge because our mind gets in the way. And so much of what I do with my clients and so much of the work that I do is helping people to use their mind in a way that's constructive rather than destructive in the world in which we're living now.
Mm. Absolutely. Now, Susie, this essential self, is that something that you've always been connected to, or is it something that you've had to go through a process of actually reconnecting to?
Well, you know, Damien, I'm pretty sure that when I was a child, I have very vivid memories as a young child, probably three or so, when I felt so connected to everything. I could see auras when I was a little girl, and I could see them around animals and people and flowers, and I made an assumption that everybody could, until I found, to my horror, and I can't remember the discovery process that I went through to find out that I seemed to be a little bit odd and unusual. I know people used to come to me when I was a child and say, you've got really healing hands, you know, my back hurts, my head hurts, can you take it away from me? So there was something in there that had a knowingness as a child, but as I grew up, it became something that I started to hide. I was a very shy little girl, and I think I started to hide away, particularly those knowingnesses that I had, because it made me stick out and be different. And naturally in society, as we grow up, we don't want to be different. We want to be the same as somebody else and everybody else so that we fit in. So I did the conforming as well, and very gradually lost that very deep connection with that part of me. So it became a process that I had to rediscover. I became quite ill when I was early 20s, and again a bit later on. So I knew there was something there that I was failing to take notice of, failing to heed. So that's really when my journey of discovery went in all sorts of different directions. And the essence of womanhood really is a culmination of all the processes that have really worked for me and that really work for my clients. So that's what I'm sharing. Things that work, you know, if it works, use it. If it doesn't work, don't worry about it.
Mm. Absolutely. When I was going through the book, the actual richness of the exercises that are in the book are really quite phenomenal. There's so many deep and profound processes in there that can really take people from being confused, disorientated, and I guess in that not-self position into really letting go of a lot of the things that are holding them back from actually realising that true essence.
Yes, I think what I came to realise, I have done so many personal development courses, Damien. I'm almost embarrassed to say who because I've done sort of everybody. And I've got a library that's so full of books that I have actually read and used and tapes that I have listened to and worked with. But what I found in the personal and professional development world is that so much information and intellectual stuff was being put on me, and it became overwhelming. I felt I didn't have room for it all, and I didn't know how to deal with it. And then I started to realize that we need to empty out all the stuff first. Mm. We need to become empty vessels, not try and cram stuff on top. So I went from the belief that we already have that connection with that spiritual part of us, and we've lost connection. So rather than putting stuff on top of us, because that makes us feel that we're inferior, we're still not good enough, you know, we've still got to try harder and still got to improve, rather than doing all that stuff, how about just letting go of all of that and finding that purity just by letting go of all the stuff that's not us? Discover what's really us. What it's like. I know as a child, it's that time of year now. You know, when you get a beautiful shiny conker and you start to peel the outside edge, and inside is this amazing kernel that holds essence of a whole tree, and that's what it's like. It's like peeling away all the skin that's not us, the mask that's covering up that beauty of who we really are.
Absolutely, reminds me of one of my favourite Bruce Lee quotes, actually, that the process of living is a process of elimination rather than one of accumulation, which seem to have been conditioned to believe in the West.
Absolutely, and I think we have been conditioned to believe in accumulation of everything, accumulation of more knowledge, of more technology, of more people, more places, more. Instead of just allowing that pureness of who we are to come through. Because at heart, we know what's right for our lives. We all know, but we override it. And I think with women particularly, and we'll get onto this, I know, shortly, but we've been trained, certainly my schooling, we were trained to be logical. Well, logic is a learned behavior. It's a very masculine behavior. For women, logic is learned. You know, I know you poor guys go, oh, women are so illogical. But we're designed to not be logical because we use a different part of our body, our brain, our intuition. We intuit in a different way from the way you guys intuit.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah, so in the book as well, like you begin the book with a very interesting story about the conception of the book and how it actually came about. And I was just wondering if you could actually share the moment of realization when the book was being birthed.
Yes, that was one of those very interesting times. I was a single mum bringing up two of my teenagers on my own. My daughter had left and I had these two strapping young teenage guys who were DJs, and I was doing all the lugging of their equipment to and fro, DJ gigs at ghastly hours of the night and morning, and climbing up on the roof and mending all the leaks. And it was when I was climbing up on the roof and mending a leak, I put my hand inside a downpipe to try and find out what's going on. And I thought there must be a tennis ball in there because I felt this round thing in there. And I put my hand in and lifted this thing out, and it was a toad. And it, as I describe it in my book, it was the most exquisite-looking creature I have ever seen in my life. It was iridescent.
Wow.
It was turquoise and not a blemish on its back. I think the only thing I can think of, because I had a pond, a beautiful pond with wonderful fish in and frogs and tadpoles every year, but I also had a very friendly heron. My guess, but I could be totally wrong, is that a heron must have been flying over with a beak full of tadpoles and dropped one inadvertently in my drain, and it just sat there and got fat. So the toad became my, I don't know, it seemed to be a wake-up. It was like a fairy tale, because as girls we were brought up, you know, you've got to kiss this beautiful frog and he'll turn into a prince. And this toad just became my emblem, my metaphor, I think, for transformation for me. And I suddenly was going, what am I doing? Here am I yet again in dirty old jeans and a smelly old T-shirt, behaving like a man, and just becoming so self-sufficient, because I've always been very capable. And I think that that capability that women have can get so much in our way, because we get dismissed as, well, you don't need us then, from you guys. So this metaphor of my lovely, lovely toad, I didn't kiss him, bless him, but he just became that transformational metaphor for me. So I had to sort of lean over. I couldn't clamber down the ladder because it was too complicated, so I had to lean over the edge of my roof and drop him into the grass and let him lope away. But that really was a wake-up call for me, that there has to be more for me as a woman. And I know there are so many women living on their own and dealing with the difficulties of life. And there are so many men living on their own. It's crazy. What are we doing? You know, there's a harmony that we can create between us instead of this separation, instead of looking at each other as being the opposite sex. I mean, that immediately creates opposition. We're just the other sex. And when we can learn to live in harmony with each other and really honor and value each other, I believe massive transformation will happen. So yes, the book came about really from my story with my toad. He was my wake-up call.
Mm. Excellent. Now, with the book itself, you have the tagline, Reawakening the Authentic Feminine. And I was just wondering if you could actually share what you see as the major challenges actually facing women today.
I think it is this competitive edge that we've striven for and have achieved. I used to be in the corporate market, so I know what it was like. I used to work in major corporations. And obviously, with my work, I visit corporates, and I have women and men coming to me for coaching from corporations. I think feminism has gone too far. I'm sticking my head above the parapet to say this, but, mm-hmm. you know, we've fought for so long for women's rights, but I think not realizing what we've done to ourselves. We've just taken it too far. And that, as a result, we've been putting masks on to behave like men. You know, our body shape has changed, our voices have dropped, our hormones have gone completely out of whack because we've been fighting to be as good as men, and in many cases we've been fighting to be better. And it's taken such a toll on us as women in that beauty, that love, that gentleness, that tenderness, that creativity, that inspiration that we used to be for men. I remember as a child, my grandfather, I had the most wonderful, wonderful grandfather who was Welsh, and in his Welsh accent, he used to read me beautiful love poetry, where almost always written by men, and almost always with the woman being the adoring, the adored, the beautiful. And I had this vision of womanhood as being precious and beloved and nurtured and cared for and protected by men, and that's just gone completely now. That poetry of life has disappeared, and I think it's because we've battled so hard. We've won lots of wars, but at what cost?
Mm. Absolutely. Now, one of the things I'm particularly fascinated in terms of relationships is just the whole notion of polarity and the attraction that comes through polarity. And I was just wondering if you could actually share, I know in the book you speak about the energies of the yin and yang energies. I was just wondering if you could actually share, first of all, what yin and yang actually means for people, and also how people can actually reawaken these polarities between the sexes.
Mm. The yin and yang, I'm sure most people online know what it is. This is the Eastern idea of the polarity of light and dark, hot and cold, masculine, feminine. So the yin, now let's start with the yang energy. The yang energy is the masculine. It's the bright, the light, the burning, the hot, the heat, the energy that pushes outwards. So that's a very strong, powerful, creative force in the world that, and it's represented in the male body, you know, the way your sex organs are outside and that strength and power and the musculature of a man. So that whole yang, fiery energy is there. For a woman, the yin energy is very soft and very yielding. It's receiving, it's receptive, the way our bodies are made. Our bodies are receptive to you men, to when we're making love, we receive you into our bodies. So we have this receptivity, but we've forgotten how to do it. You know, we've forgotten how to receive gifts, we've forgotten how to receive compliments as women. So I suppose what I'm helping women to do is to get back into that place of receptivity. But it doesn't mean weakness. It's not pink and fluffy. It's not surrendering in a way that's not supportive of who we are. It's a very warm, embracing, loving, and very potent energy. So it's not a straight line between yin and yang. There's, if you look at the yin-yang symbol, there's a beautiful curved line where one merges into the other. There's a flowing energy. So if one person in a partnership needs to become more yang, then the other needs also to become more yin, to be receptive to it. If that can be either sex. You know, there are times when a woman needs to be yang if she wants to put a product out. You know, I've had to use my yang energy to get my book out. You have to use your yang energy when you're giving birth as a woman. It's that powerful expulsion into the world, and you can't do it if you're being all soft and gentle. But we can't live there as women. you know, our energy when we're born, it's sort of reckoned we're about 70% female and 30% male as women. And for men, it's the other way around, 70% masculine, 30% feminine. But we're not trying to make ourselves 50-50. And I think this is what this idea of equality, I think people have got it wrong. They've got this idea that we're supposed to be equal by being equally male and equally female within our own structure. But we're not. We women need to be intrinsically in their feminine and use their male energy, their yang energy, when it's appropriate. It's our emergency energy, our yang energy. So it's not there to be used full time. When we do, we completely mess up our adrenal glands. There are an enormous number of women out in the world now whose adrenal glands are completely messed up. You know, we've overstimulated them. And it's in our work life, it's in our sex life, it's in our determination to get everything done. And it saps that energy. Men, on the other hand, need, you know, you've got 17 times more testosterone than we women, except we're starting to catch up, which is a terrifying idea. And you've also got much more adrenaline in you. You need it, because, or you needed it in cavemen times when you went out and hunted the meat, and we were picking berries in the orchard and singing and la-la-laing. And you had to have that real powerful energy. So this yin-yang, it's a flowing energy. It's not a divide. So you were just asking me how you can recapture it. Well, I use, as you know, I use a lot of dance and movement in my workshops, and even if I'm coaching one-to-one, I get people to move in a way that enhances the part of their energy that may be lacking, of which there is insufficient at the time. So my experience over years and years of doing this work with people, I'm a hypnotherapist as well, so I'm obviously using language and helping people to get into a different way of being and a different emotional state. But when you put it into the body, something totally magical happens. That it's like re-recording a CD. It's recording over the patterns of behavior that aren't supportive. Mm. And the more you do that, the more you repeat those actions, those movements, the more the wisdom of each cell in your body takes that on board as a new program. And voila, things change dramatically.
Absolutely. thinking personal development, I'm a massive fan of NLP as a toolkit, but quite often just using NLP alone just keeps us totally in our minds, and to actually bring in the actual movement part of it as well actually unites both mind and body. And I think it's an amazing toolkit that you have, where you have the ability to use both.
Absolutely. Obviously, you know, people say that what I do with my dance and movement work is NLP in action, and in a way it is. It completely alters it alters the hormone structure, it alters the cellular memory. I'm working at so many different levels and so many different aspects, and it becomes, you know, very spiritual as well as physiological and psychological. That the differences in people are quite phenomenal. I was teaching in Holland 11 months ago, I suppose, and a number of stories. I had a rather overweight lady who came to my class. I was doing a weekend on masculinity and femininity. And we had equal numbers of men. And actually, we had slightly more men than women. So I do get a lot of men coming to my classes, which is lovely. And this very overweight lady arrived in her pinstripe trouser suit, which I thought was a very weird thing to do, to come to a workshop on a weekend in a pinstripe trouser suit. But that was just who she presented herself as. You know, I'm a very important corporate woman, and she was very overweight. The next day, I didn't know who she was. She walked in the room. She dropped 2 dress sizes overnight. Off
wow.
had come this dreadful trouser suit, and she came in with a flowing scarf and a dress or a long skirt that she'd found tucked in the back of her wardrobe somewhere that she hadn't looked at for years, in floods of tears. absolutely in floods of tears. She said, I don't know how I am this morning, but my God, I love it. There's a whole shift as she was discovering who she was. You know, her sexuality was woken up, her gracefulness, her beauty. And for the first time, I think she had stopped judging herself. She'd started to see this, well, again, I call it that essence, that the beauty of who she really was and the potency of it. She had a fear that if she became feminine, then she would lose that possibility to be successful in her business. But when we discussed it, she suddenly realized that she could be even more effective. Her communication skills changed. She started to understand, and even her language changed. Her voice tone changed. Her face softened. Everything. She looked amazing. She looked 10 years younger.
Wow, that's quite an amazing story.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And another woman, actually, who was or had been a professional dancer, and she hadn't danced for 20 years because she had a bad back, and came up to me and said, I can't do this dance. I can't do this dance. And I said, just shut your eyes. And I danced her body. I literally put my arms underneath her arms and danced her with the music as if she was my body. And again, the shift in her was extraordinary. She just cried and cried and cried. And then she danced. And that was the first time in 20 years.
Wow.
And it's allowing the patterns of behavior that we take on board as the limitations of how we are. You know, she came saying, I am unwell, I have a bad. So she was claiming and owning unwellness. She was claiming and owning inability to move as an excuse to not do anything with her life. And she wanted sympathy, and I'm afraid I don't do sympathy. It's not appropriate most of the time, because you're joining in and adding to the energy of somebody's sadness rather than waking up that innate possibility. But it was fascinating seeing her dancing the next day. She was, I mean, all over the place, dancing like a fairy. She was amazing. Mm. And again, looked 20 years younger. It was just magical, magical.
Wow.
So much can happen when you really connect with your body as well. And it's not just women. I have a lot of men in my classes. And sometimes men go, ooh, dancing, no, that's just for girls. But it's not just dancing, it's movement. It's using your physiology in a very strong and powerful way for men to get back into that yang. That there's a stance for men to stand in. There's a way of walking for men that's powerful and lifts their chest and their shoulders and their whole energy shifts. And it's wonderful. There are a couple of exercises I do where the women just sit and watch the men and their yang energy. Oh, my goodness. It's awesome. And the women sitting there palpitating, you know, and getting quite pink around the gills, because watching this male energy so beautifully channeled into their bodies, and the men actually claiming and owning their masculinity again, is extraordinary. And then for the men to watch the women letting go of all their limitations and their hardness and their defensiveness and their criticism and their judgment and just becoming soft and beautiful again. It's just so awesome. So it's a combination of hypnosis and NLP and coaching and movement and dance and music and everything. And I think that's why people come to me for coaching, because that's the recipe that seems to work so well. It's challenging. It's not easy. But as you know through your own life, you know, some of the things that we've done in our personal development, it's not an easy route.
Mm. Mm. Well, thank you for sharing those stories. They're very, very powerful. Now, as I mentioned earlier, Susie had questions come in from all around the world, so I'm just going to ask some of those now. And just going to start you off with a question from Deborah in Australia. And Deborah asks, I feel like I've had to let some of my feminine nature go in order to achieve success in a male-dominated workplace. I wish I didn't have to do this, and was wondering if you had some suggestions on how to get around this.
Number one, read the book. There are so many exercises. Sorry, it seems obvious, but there are so many exercises in there to help people, help women get back in touch with that feminine nature. There's a fear that women have that if they become feminine, that they won't be powerful in work and back in the corporate market. My belief that it is that actually we will become more powerful. I don't like the word powerful. We've been trained to be empowered women, and again, that's done us a disservice. My next book's called The Potency of the Feminine at Work, and it's that potency. When we step into the strength and the compassion and the joy and the love of who we are as women, and we carry that around with us, it's extraordinary what happens in the workplace. It's so fascinating because men start to look at us in a different way. I know the energy that I put out seems to make a massive difference whenever I walk into a room. I just have to call it a potency, I suppose. There's an energy because I'm accepting myself and loving myself as a woman and enjoying being a woman without being doing all the things they tell you to do in Cosmopolitan. So there's a joy. Yes, there's a joy. So I think for Deborah in Australia, if you're listening, Deborah, there are one thing you can do is the way you move your body. You know, walk like a woman. Put a skirt on. So many of the women that come to me wear trousers a lot, and that also saps our female energy. It's very fascinating. We think it's going to be disruptive if we wear skirts, but it allows our feminine energy to flow much better when we're in a skirt. I know it sounds a bit daft, but it really does. The difference is phenomenal. Where again, when we become more feminine and we embrace that femininity in our body, we exude a different energy in everything we do. And that's, I think, this is not an overnight change to educate the men, but the more we allow ourselves to enjoy our feminine energy, there's a shift in the workplace quite dramatically. With the work that I've been doing with clients, fascinating, the women who come back, high-powered businesswomen who say, I've completely changed the way I work. And working with female energy has made such a difference at work. The men are starting to listen now. I don't have to raise my voice anymore. I've stopped swearing and using all those aggressive words. People respect me. And it's very different from, I think, the sexual energy that's being put out now, which almost invites abuse and invites not such nice things. But when women are really confident in their feminine energy, none of that happens. There's a respect and an honouring in the vulnerability of who we are. And then men step up and become protective in a way that really works also in the workplace because we get listened to. Mm. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. That's a great answer. And this question actually comes from Peter in South Africa. And Peter asks, I'm curious about how both sexes can work together to co-create a more cohesive and deeply honouring society. So my question specifically is, what advice would you offer to men who would like to understand, honour and celebrate the feminine?
Well, this is a beautiful question, Peter. Thank you. And what I love so much about it is the answers in the question. It's about being willing to understand, honour and celebrate the feminine, because that's what most women at heart, I believe, want. I've had a few challenges, as you can imagine, with some women saying, oh, rubbish, we don't want that. But at heart, most women long to be celebrated. We long for our femininity to be appreciated. We long to have that fear taken away. So often, you know, women act or react out of fear, which is when their feminine flies out the window. And when you guys don't step up sufficiently to remove our fear, then we have to step up into our masculine energy, which is attacking and defensive and prickly and very hard for you guys to deal with. So really, I believe that at heart, women want to be cherished. We want to be complimented. We want you to notice who we are. We want to be seen. I think that's a really important thing, that women are seen for who we are. Sometimes we're seen as our job title, or as our, if we're a mother, we're seen as a mother, or we're seen as a daughter, we're seen as a job description, rather than being seen for who we are as individuals. We need certainty as women, because without that certainty, we have to take charge. We're frightened. We're frightened of that big wide world out there, although we've worked very hard to prove that we're not. But we need certainty. And when you men can give us that certainty, when you can say, it's all right, I'll handle this, and when we know we can trust you, we can let go and then relax into that femininity that we know you love. And until, you know, this is a symbiotic relationship that has to happen both at the same time, which is why a lot of the work I do is educating people to understand this balance and harmony that needs to be created. As I said, we're not opposite sexes. We're the other sex. We don't need opposition. Can I talk about the sexual side of
this? Absolutely, yeah.
You know, when our sexual energy is not honoured and nurtured, then the Wicked Witch of the North comes out of our mouth. We get angry, we get bitchy, we get, you know, hell on toast, really. And if that, we women, we store anger and misery and pain and hurt and mistrust and fear and everything in our sexual organs, so in our breasts and in our sexual organs, in our womb, and all that part of us, in our reproductive organs. And of course, when we get testosterone-fueled sex, like we, you know, told how many orgasms you can have if you use this particular vibrator and all that sort of stuff, which is very male, then we don't have that opportunity to relax into our female energy. So a lot of energy is actually can be, if we have a loving partner who can gentle us into a full-body orgasm, which is very different from the way we've been taught as women. You know, it's a surrendering into who we really are. And again, you know, this is something I try and talk about and teach men, how they can relax their women sufficiently so the woman can completely let go. And also for the man to be totally present. If we're very, very sensitive to energy, women, and we know if you're making love to us or something and you're suddenly thinking about football, oh my goodness, do we know? Your energy goes out. You know, you've gone. Where were you? And we don't play anymore. So when that connection and that sexual energy is held and embraced and nurtured, that's when we can become so much more feminine. And there are ways of massaging a woman, and it's not where you think it is, which really increase the that ability for a woman to completely let go and trust. And through that, I've seen this honoring of women as a result of that closeness and tenderness that comes from a different sexual relationship, and it's quite fascinating. I will just put a little thing onto this one, though, because very often, I work with couples as well, and they might come because their sex life isn't working, but it's never about the sex. It's always about what's happening outside the bedroom. If things are not happening well outside the bedroom, there's no way things can happen well inside the bedroom. So those things will need to be sorted as well.
Excellent. That's a great answer. And thanks, Peter, for a great question. Okay, this question comes from...
Another thing I just wanted to add to that.
Okay, sure.
Women, you know, women, we do very funny little things for our men when we love them. And you guys just don't notice, but we think we're doing it for love. You know, if we're making a meal, we keep the smallest bit for ourselves, or the broken egg, and we do it out of love, and you guys just don't notice it. And I used to you'll be horrified, but I used to iron my husband's socks as my expression of, he cares about it all. Isn't that dumb? But
there are funny little things that women do for men as an expression of love. And if you guys can start to be really, really aware of what we do and start to notice it, you can then say, look, it's all right, darling, you don't need to do that, but thank you, I really appreciate what you've done, it's lovely. And again, we need to be seen, we need to be noticed, we need to be honoured for those tiny little funny things that we do. We're a bit quirky, we girls, we do funny little things for men.
I have to admit, that's actually one of my favourite acts of love, when my girlfriend actually gives me the biggest serving. It does always does hit the spot for me.
And there was a lovely time, I spent some time with Tony and Nikki D in Austria, doing some coaching and things with them. And we had two things we did which were just amazing. One night, the men were looking after we girls. So it was the most glorious romantic evening. I had one other romantic evening, beautiful, which was with my 8-year-old cousin, who told me how much he loved me, and that was a very romantic evening.
Wow.
But this other one was in Austria, where the men, they made beautiful poems for us, they dressed up, they took us off to a lovely restaurant and gave us these beautiful poems, and they decorated our chairs. And when we got back, they decorated our bedrooms. We had pencil, we had beautiful music, we had scent, we had candles, and they'd made this extraordinarily beautiful place for us. We felt so nourished, it was wonderful. And then we girls had an evening to do for the men. And what we did, we put all the sofas out, we got rugs, we put on Top Gun, and we gave the guys burgers and chips and beans, and we massaged their feet and left them to it. They loved it. So a very, very, very different, very contrasting, but it was giving each person what they needed. It was giving that male energy what they needed, and they just loved it. They said it was the best evening ever. And we loved our belly because we had such fun.
That's fantastic. Great. Okay, this question comes from Kate in the United Kingdom, and Kate asks, how can women use their innate abilities to lead outside the home?
That's an interesting one, Kate. Thank you for that. Leading by inspiration rather than one-up womanship. I know when I was in the corporate market, there was a tremendous competition between the women. There was a lot of doing each other down, and it was really tough. Women are not very good at supporting each other. And I think there needs to be much more support between women. Giving women permission to ask for help, and I think that's a leadership thing, actually, ask for help. Stop behaving like men. Because when, again, you know, I've said this over and over again, when we start to acknowledge who we are and stop behaving like men, we can lead in a very, very different way. You know, there are things where men are superior and things where women are superior. You know, are we trying to prove ourselves equal to men, or are we grace than men, or at the effect of men? And all those places where we're not willing to see the superiority of men, we make ourselves wrong. And all the places where we're not willing to see the superiority of women, we make ourselves wrong. And I think business suffers because of very fixed points of view, because, you know, when we've made judgments, we limit ourselves so much. So there's a way of really being intuitive, very compassionate, and I think inviting as well. Business is starting to become more energetically feminine, I think, because of the internet. The internet is a very feminine way of business to be done. It's intrinsically feminine. No one's in control. It's flowing, it's cooperative, it's connecting, it's flexible. And businesses that embrace the technology there have to radically shift their business model and become more open, more receptive to contribution and connection, and contribution and connection from their customers and suppliers. And I'm seeing so many women really coming into their own now in businesses. I spent some time interviewing actually women in business around the world for my books, spent some time in Singapore interviewing women from all different cultures, and found quite a few women that have been running their own businesses, in quite big businesses, just women, which I thought would be really challenging, but they loved it. They all wear female clothes, and they don't seem to be competitive, and they seem to be very cooperative, which fascinated me. And, you know, they supported each other, and because there wasn't competition, they really, really brought out the best in each other, and that's where I feel we can be tremendous leaders away from work in a different way from the way we've been behaving so far. It's reckoned by 2020, 53% of millionaires will be women.
Wow.
So things are really shifting. And when we, again, using our innate femininity to connect people, to create beautiful environments, we're very good as women at creating warm environments and connecting people together. When we use those talents, I think that makes a difference. And also when we follow our joy, we've been taught very much to follow your passion, but the word passion actually means to be tacked to the cross. If you look up the old English version, that's what it means, to be tacked to the cross. And you see people going, oh, I'm very passionate about this. And all the yang energy again comes up. And I know when I say, I'm very passionate, my whole body goes rigid. It's yang energy. But when I'm following my joy, when I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, that's when women are following their joy, and when men are following their joy, that's when businesses will transmute and change and be much more contributory, I think, to a world that will work. It will take some time. It will take some time. But again, when we are using that joyfulness of who we really are, we can become the inspiration. Again, being a leader, it was interesting that Kate's used this word, leadership, and it goes on to another question that somebody else said as well. There's this leadership thing. If you know what your path is in life, I feel that you can go and do it and just be a leader. You don't have to have followers, oddly enough. You just are a leader in your own right for the presence of who you are and for the amazing things that you generate out of your life. I think leadership
love that as a thought, actually, just being a leader with not necessarily having to have followers, but...
Absolutely.
So all great leaders begin just by following their own internal guidance, and then through following that guidance, then people will begin to show up.
Exactly. Awesome. Does that answer Kate's question, do you think?
That's a really, really good answer. And thanks, Kate,
so I think,
for that question.
Thank you, Kate. Bring an invitation to business. As women, again, I belong to a women's business network, and I'm starting to see... I can see so clearly when women are working in their yang energy and the things aren't working because it's not their natural energy. And when they start to relax and enjoy and love what they do, the success in business is phenomenal. Phenomenal, because there's an invitation into business rather than a forcing out. It's a receptiveness rather than a pushing. It's a yin energy rather than a yang.
Absolutely. Now, this question comes from Susan in the United Kingdom. And Susan asks, how do you maintain your feminine zest for life to include a desire to be fun, innocently flirt with life, to dance and romance the world, when you are with a partner who wants to control, limit and suspect your free spirit? I choose to be with him. He does not possess me, but after 22 years I'm growing into my prime and wish to enjoy it fully, and he wants us to settle. There's more to it than that, but it's all about envy, control of my friendliness and energy. What's your advice?
Oh, I think I might have asked that question myself a few years ago. I can really relate to that, because I also was with a partner who was very suspicious about my feminine energy. And sometimes, Susan, our female energy can be a bit frightening to men. It's so wild. It's so exuberant. It's so garrulous, it's so enormous, and it's so out there, and it's not logical, and it can put men in a fearful state. So a few things I'd probably like to say, you know, that this female energy is free, it's juicy, it's potent, it's sexual, it's creative. And for him, you need to start catching him doing wonderful things for you that make him feel good about what he is. You've sort of got to shift some of the attention away from you, which is not denigrating who you are, but boosting him up so that he can enjoy being the male to your female. When he starts to feel he's valued, when he's, there are sort of the three A's for men, you know, appreciate, admire, adore, men, that's all they want. Bless them. They're not that difficult to please. When we appreciate what they do, when we admire them for the things that they do for us, when we adore them, they will change. And then they will step into that male energy. They give us the freedom to be more feminine. Find out, if you can, what he's frightened of and what he's challenged by you. Because there may be something, and at the end of the day, you may have to decide that your freedom is more valuable than having to try and work against the settlement. Settling is never a good idea when we've got that exuberance and that zest for life. It is a challenge. Interesting, we're coming up to that time of year now when the greatest number of marriages break down. December the 26th is the day that most marriages come to an end. It's where people look at each other across the Christmas table and go, I just can't face another Christmas with you. And January the 7th is the day when the most divorces are filed for. So it's a terribly important time now, October, November, and through December, to start nourishing the relationships, to almost sort of throw away all the bad things that you've been doing in your relationship, all the things that haven't worked, and find things that do work. So it's not holding any grudges, it's not holding any judgments, it's being an allowance of the other person being who they are. It's not fighting to prove your point or to stand your corner, but just be very much in allowance and be very loving and tender and understanding, because it is frightening for men when we've got that energy, when it looks as if we may rush off with other people and we're friendly and we're flatty. But that's just our exuberance. If you can always come home to him, you know, with that same zest and love and passion, sorry, I didn't use the passion word, that same zest and love and joy, and make him feel how important he is. But if you want to, you know, have some personal advice, all I can suggest is you contact me and coach you through this, because there's obviously some other things underlying that we can't talk about over the phone.
Great. Thanks, Susan, for an excellent question. Well, we've actually sped through this hour, Susie.
We have, haven't we?
It's literally coming up to the end of the hour. And I know, like, I've personally taken so much away from what you've shared, actually. Some really key things have actually jumped out with me. And I'm sure there are people at home, whether male or female, will have similarly had a really powerful learning experience this evening. And I was just wondering if you could actually share for people listening at home who may be interested in actually staying in touch with you and actually finding out more about your work and how they can potentially get the book as well. I was just wondering if you could actually share those details with them.
Yes, absolutely. I'd like to open the opportunity for somebody to win a signed copy of my book, actually, as well. So the first person to, if you've got pen and paper there, to email me with name and address and details of whoever you want me to sign it to. I'll give you a signed dedication if you'd like. And if you can send it to Susie.Heath, that's S-U-S-I-E, .Heath, H-E-A-T-H, at effortlessliving.co.uk, Susie.Heath at effortlessliving.co.uk. And if you can put Damien Sen in the title, then the first person who hits that button, I will send a signed copy of the book. So if you'd like to find out more about the book, if you log on to my website, which is www.essenceofwomanhood.com, you can actually download the first two chapters for free. And also there's a free audio relaxation and also an e-course on enhancing the feminine. Again, if you want to get a signed copy from me of the book, you can contact me either through that website or through Effortless Living, or you can get the book on Amazon. So if anybody is interested in my coaching programs, I've got a 3-month and a 6-month and a 12-month coaching program and workshops coming up. So keep in touch with me and I will keep in touch with you.
And what kind of people actually come to see you for coaching?
Very interesting. I've had a mixture of people from all walks of life. I've had royalty, I've had famous film stars and famous pop stars, I've had CEOs of big businesses, I've had opera singers, and mums and business people and all sorts of people. It's been a fascinating collection of different people. What I love about the coaching process is how rapidly it works. I was one of the first coaches to qualify in the UK some 10 years ago. So I've been doing this for a long time, and the dance as well, for 13 years all over the world. So it's just so interesting seeing the massive shifts in people. They come in as one thing, and my goodness, do they go out differently? It's very fascinating, very exciting. So people who are willing to do some change work, people who at the end of the day go, there must be more to life than this, or feeling that they're just not living their full potential, or feeling that their spirit is squashed, feeling that their essence is not being expressed. The people, rather than, because what so often happens, Damien, is people don't jump and do anything until there's a massive crisis. You know, somebody dies, a best friend dies, or somebody's been diagnosed with cancer, or somebody's put themselves around a tree, or there's a failed relationship or something. You know, rather than wait until all that's done, it's so much better to come and be the full expression of who you are and give that to the world. That's what we're here for, to express who we are in all our beauty and glory and joy and amazingness.
Excellent. And just for guys at home as well, like you do coach men as well.
Absolutely. Oddly enough, there was a time last year I had more men than women coming for coaching.
Wow.
And it's such a joy, because men want to know what they need to do in themselves to understand women. You know, what am I doing wrong? What can I do differently? How can I change who I'm presenting myself as? How can I stop being so fearful? How can I be more of who I am? So, yes, I do get men as well quite a lot, which is lovely. Great.
Excellent. Great. Now, I was just wondering, Susie, if you had any final words for people at home about how we can actually encourage and inspire and really hold a space for the reawakening of the authentic feminine, whether they're men at home or women at home. What steps can we take to bring that about in the world?
One thing that I love is writing a list of things that you love to do. We're very good at putting things off, about not doing things, about not looking after ourselves, not nurturing ourselves. So write a list of 100 things you love to do. It's quite a long list. And just go and start doing them, because when we've got that joy and that energy of doing things that we love to do, whether it's buying yourself a flower or walking through the forest and kicking up the leaves in your welly boots or jumping in puddles or going horse riding or making love or going to a film, or, you know, they don't have to be difficult or expensive things, just small things that nurture and nourish your life, then that's when we start to make a difference in the world, because it's so easy to focus on all the ghastly things that are happening in the world. We're thrown these horrible things all the time, negativity and the ghastly news, and so turn off the television, stop reading the newspaper, go and do things you love, share it with people that you love, you know, think only the thoughts that you love. And lots of gratitude. There's nothing more powerful than being grateful for who you are as well as the people you're with.
That's beautiful words to finish off with. Nothing more powerful than being grateful. And, I just wanted to extend the gratitude to you this evening, Susie, for sharing your immense wisdom and your real passion for your work. It's really come across this evening, and I've certainly feel enriched by spending the last hour with you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, it's been an absolute joy and a great privilege. And thank you so much to all your listeners and all those people who very kindly put some questions in. I really appreciate it.
Cool. And I'd also like to just extend the gratitude to everyone at home as well. Your participation in these calls on a weekly basis is really inspiring. It's great to receive such a diverse array of questions coming in from all around the world, and also to receive your feedback after the call. Now, for those of you listening as well, we will be putting this recording up on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website for free tomorrow. So if there is something that has really resonated with you, I do encourage you to come back and listen to the call again. And also, if you feel that this material could change the life of a friend, a colleague, a family member, by all means do take that step forward and actually share this powerful work with those that you love. Excellent. So thank you, everyone at home, and thank you once again, Susie.
Thank you very much. Really enjoyed it. Thanks, Damien, for inviting me. Take care.
Good evening.
Bye-bye. Bye.